So we continue on in our sermon series this summer in the book of Psalms. We've chosen to take the summer to be shaped by the Psalms. The Psalms are shaping words, right? They shape us into something. They mold our hearts. They grow us in worship and in prayer. They deepen us. This morning we come to Psalm 46. I don't really know what page it is on your Bible, but it's somewhere in the middle if you're looking for it. So I invite you to turn there. I'm going to read it. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46 revolves around the first lines of the psalm. If we were to summarize Psalm 46, we merely need to recite the first line. God is our refuge and strength. The psalmist here is trying to paint a picture of who God is. And he begins by saying that God is our refuge. And the Hebrew word here, refuge, it came to be associated with God's relationship to vulnerable people. It came to be known as connected to his relationship to people in need. That God was their refuge. Because a refuge was a place that somebody went to be protected from an enemy. A refuge would protect somebody from attack, or it would offer shelter from a storm. And so the psalmist tells us that God is our refuge, our protection, our shelter, but not just any refuge, we're told. The psalmist says that God is our refuge and strength. And in the Hebrew construction of this sentence, it really could be seen as that God is our strong refuge. That this refuge, this protection, this shelter isn't just any shelter. It's stronger than the attackers. That this shelter is stronger than any storm that could come against God's people. That God is our refuge and our strength. That he is our protection from attack or from storm. Storms happen in life, don't they? Right? Storms can happen. They can take all kinds of different forms. Perhaps it's a sudden tragedy that wells up in life. Or an illness that creeps into the family. Perhaps it's conflict at home or at work or even just stress. Stress itself. Change. These things sometimes whirl up a storm in our life. Life happens. And in these storms, it just seems as though chaos begins to ensue. And I wonder, what kind of storms have you been facing these days? What are the things that have threatened the stability of your life these days? For my wife, Gina, and I, it was about 8 years ago, and I've told this story before. 8 years ago, I passed out for some unknown reason. And for the next 9 months of our life, a darkness settled over our house. A storm crept in. because there was uncertainty around my health. And there was a despair, a depression. There was an anxiety that hung over our household. And it felt in those days like the world was crumbling beneath our feet. That things were not normal. That we lived in chaos. We lived to survive. And that's often how it feels when a storm hits us in life. It feels like the earth is giving away underneath us. That there's no stability. Now, the psalmist knew this. The psalmist speaks in these terms. He says in verse 2, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. See, when a storm hits our life, we feel like we're on shaky ground, that the world is crumbling beneath us. What storms are you facing these days? What's threatening you? But the psalmist here makes a spectacular statement. As he makes reference to the earth giving way in verse 2, he says, therefore we will not fear. That in the midst of the storm, as the world seems as though it's crumbling beneath us, we will not fear. There is a grand statement. I venture to think that each and every one of you here has known a storm or two in your life. But here's the question. In the uncertainty of your storm, has your fear been displaced by courage? Has your fear given way to hope? Because this is what happens when we find refuge in a God who is stronger than the storm. That when we find refuge in a God who is stronger than any attack, hope and courage arise. God is our refuge and our strength. See, the psalmist reminds us here in verse 1 that God is our ever-present help in trouble. That He's our ever-present help in trouble. See, often when I talk to people who find themselves in their own storm, the question that emerges to the surface is, God, where are you in all of this? Where are you? And the psalmist is anchoring us to something here. The psalmist is reminding us that God has not left. That we don't need to somehow pray, God, will you just show up? I hate that prayer. Because God is ever present. And in the midst of our storm, when we say, God, where are you? This is an honest and a heartfelt and a real and a raw prayer. But as the psalmist anchors us to the truth that God is ever present, that in the midst of our storm, somehow, some way, when we seek refuge, when we run for protection to God, well, we're awakened to His presence. And as we're awakened to His presence, courage and hope arise. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. It's at this point in the psalm that the psalmist switches his imagery. The imagery changes from a world that is crumbling apart, falling apart, to an unshakable city. A city in which God dwells, a place of joy and of peace where God provides. This is a kingdom that will not fall because God dwells in her. Verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And the psalmist gives us a picture here into what life is like with God in the kingdom. That in God's kingdom, His world, His stability, life is unshakable. It's unbreakable. Because God dwells in her. And so there's this shift in imagery from a world that's falling apart because of a storm or an attack to a city that is unshakable because God is in her. And this unshakable city is juxtaposed again with other cities that are threatened and fall. And we see that in verse 6. It says, nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. And when the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, uses this word nations, the plural nations, it's referring often to those superpowers that opposed God and oppressed his people. That when the Old Testament talks about nations, it's speaking about places like Assyria that would oppose God and oppress his people. And so the psalmist goes on to say that these nations, those ones who oppose God and his people, well, they are in uproar. Their kingdoms fall, and they fall, it says, because God lifts his voice and the earth melts. Another way of saying this is that God speaks and the earth trembles. See, the image that we are getting here, the psalmist is telling us that though God's people feel like the world's falling apart, with God as their refuge and strength, they live in a city that is unshakable. And that at the very voice of God, those who oppose him, they quake. Those kingdoms fall. And in verse 10, God speaks. And he speaks out against those who oppose him. And he says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. See, we quote this verse a lot in church. I don't know if you've heard somebody quote this verse to you. Be still and know that I am God. And often when we quote this verse, we're talking about some kind of quiet, contemplative prayer. We quote it and say, well, you know, we really should quiet ourselves down to be still. And to listen to God's voice. This quiet, serene, contemplative prayer. Now, this concept is all over the scriptures. We see it throughout the scriptures. But it is not in Psalm 46. Because in Psalm 46, when the voice of God roars into the psalm, it is, be still and know that I am God. He says, stop and acknowledge that I am God and you are not. And can I say I'm thankful for this? Because when the storm rages around me, I don't need somebody to say, be still. I need a God who is stronger than the storm to say, stop and acknowledge that I am God and that anything that wars against God or his people, well, they're told where their place is. Be stop, be still and know that I am God. And as I've been reflecting on this statement that the psalmist speaks out, these words of God to put those who oppose God in their place, I think there's something in it for us, for God's people. Because it seems to me that when a storm hits, when life begins to become chaotic, we run to all kinds of shelters. There are all kinds of places that we turn to for refuge. Some try and escape the chaos, the storm of their life. And so they turn to things like alcohol. Right? Just for an escape, all I need is a bottle of wine. Others try and distract themselves. They want to ignore what's happening around them. And so they find comfort in a little retail therapy. Or a new haircut, or a change in their life, a new relationship. These become distractions from the storm. They become our shelter from the pain in our life. Others, as they see their world spinning out of control, they seek refuge by trying to control everything else that they can, whether it's people or circumstances or situations. You see, we run to all kinds of different things for shelter. And in those moments, we need to hear the strong, authoritative voice of God saying, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God and you are not. Be still and know that these things will never calm the storm, because only God can." And I think there's something in that for us. And as we hear these words, that we should stop in our tracks and acknowledge that God is God and we are not. And we can't miss the final image that the psalmist leaves us with here. The final image, he says that as God speaks and the earth trembles, a desolation fills the earth. But we see that the desolation is actually a good thing. Because the final image we get in this psalm is one of peace. That when God speaks, he doesn't speak for destruction. It says in verse 9, "He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." You see, when God executes his authority, he brings peace. This is the story of God. That in the chaos of life, God brings peace. He brings shalom, fullness, wholeness. And so when we take a step back from this psalm, we see that the psalm isn't about God promising that we will never face another storm in our life. It isn't a promise to completely whisk us away so that we're escaped from the trials and the storms and the attacks that happen in life. Rather, the psalm is about an ever-present God who is stronger than any storm or any attack. The psalm is about a great God who is always with us. And that when he speaks, peace fills the earth. And so the question before us today, I think, is what do you need God's refuge from today? What do you need God's strength for? And what I want to do something a little bit different this morning. There are pieces of paper on your pews, or there's a bulletin, whatever. I want you to pull out a piece of paper, and I want you to take a moment to answer this kind of question. You know, what do you need God's refuge for? What do you need strength for? I don't want you to use any names. I don't want you to put down specific details, but put down a word or a short sentence without names on it that answers this question. What do you need God's strength for? What do you need his refuge from? And we're going to collect those up and do something with them. So take 1 minute to write that down. Okay, so now I just invite you. I know that was a short time. But to pass those to the center, and the ushers are going to come and collect those. I think that we still have the offering baskets. The ushers are going to come and quickly collect those. If you don't mind doing that quickly, that would be great. It'd be nice to see the ushers run. Should we make them run? No, that's mean. Roland, we won't do that to you. Greg could do it. Just want you to collect those up. See, there's a feature of this psalm that I think is important for us. Alana, where's Alana? What psalm did you read? Psalm 27, right? In Psalm 27, when Alana read this morning, this is like an individual psalm. This is one psalmist speaking out, saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I fear?" I mean, this is talking about the same thing, isn't it? But the emphasis is on the person. Psalm 46 is different. Psalm 46 is a communal psalm. It was a psalm that focused on the community of God. It's God is our refuge. God is our strength. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. Verse 7 says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." And so the emphasis of this psalm is not on the individual. That this was a psalm that the gathered people of God would sing or pray or speak out to remind themselves together who God is. To be encouraged as they join their voices together. That there is strength in numbers. I don't know about you, but there are times when I need somebody to come alongside of me and add their faith and their voice to mine. And so I want to do that this morning. I want the ushers to mix up those baskets and to distribute them again. And take a piece of paper. And I want you to take a minute to pray over that piece of paper. I want you to declare God's strength and God's provision and protection over. Yeah, go ahead. Hand those pieces of paper out again. I know it was a quick turnaround. I want you to pray over that piece of paper for a minute or two. And declare God's strength and His refuge, because we are in this together. That God is our strength and refuge. We will not fear. And so just hand those out and take a moment to pray over a card that you get. I know this is a bit different. It's good. And as we wrap up these prayers, I want to declare together two verses from the psalm, and they're behind. Let's declare them together. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen to that. God is our refuge and our strength. And I could just end the message there, but when you give a pastor a microphone, they can't stop. I want to conclude in the next 5 minutes or so here with a few reflections about this psalm. This week, as I've been preparing, I've been asking the question, okay, God, we know that you're a strong refuge. There are many people here that we know that you are our strong refuge. And I've been asking the question, so what? Not in a negative way, in a positive one. So what? What do we do? If you are our strong refuge, if you are the one that protects us from anything, if you are stronger than any storm or any attack, then how should we respond? And so I've come up with a bit of a fill in the blank. That's been wrestling through my mind this week. And it goes, if God is our strong refuge, then we will something. I want you to think about that this week. I want you to think about what it means for God to be a refuge and a strength stronger than any challenge or difficulty. Because I am convinced that with this as our foundation, it will change the way that we act. It will change the way that we live. It will change the way that we press out. And I've come up with three. And I'm going to end by filling in the blanks that I've come up with. The first is this. If God is our strong refuge, then we will be a refuge to others. You see, there's a movement in Christian discipleship where God's people become like God. The purpose of the Christian life is to grow ever more like Jesus. That as we've come face to face with Jesus, that we become like Him. This is discipleship. This is how our Christian life is meant to be lived. That in the power of the Spirit, we are being transformed into His image and His likeness. More loving, more compassionate, more forgiving, more holy, more grace-filled. Now, this is what the Christian life looks like. And if we're not becoming more and more like Jesus, well, then we're not holding to our end of the bargain, trusting that the Spirit will transform us. But there's this movement in Christian discipleship where we become more and more like the God that we serve. And so it seems to me that if God is our strong refuge, then we will be a refuge to those in need. That we will open our houses and our lives to those who desperately need to know a God who has a firm foundation. That the poor and the weak and the vulnerable and the oppressed would know that God is a strong refuge through us. If God is our strong refuge, then we will be a refuge to others. Secondly, if God is a strong refuge, then we will not be afraid. I searched the scriptures this week to find out how many times God instructs His people to not be afraid. I got bored when I hit 90. I had to check Facebook, I think. I stopped and was distracted. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, God instructs His people, do not be afraid. And do you know why? Because God knows what He's capable of. God knows that He's stronger than any attack or any storm. And so he instructs and tells His people, do not be afraid. God is with you. If God is for us, who could be against us? And it seems to me that we are afraid of all kinds of things. I know I am. Rejection. Failure. Sometimes we're afraid of getting sick. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of death itself. But here's the thing. God is stronger than all these things. God has sent Jesus. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That His love for us is so immense that we need not fear rejection. That we need not fear failure. But the story is more than that. Because Jesus took our sin upon Himself and died so that we would not have to. And He rose from the dead. And so as we place our faith in Him, we too will not perish, but live forever. So we need not fear sickness. We need not fear death. See, if God is our strong refuge, then we need not fear. Easier said than done, I know. But God, the Spirit of God, is the one who grows this in us. Thirdly and lastly, if God is our strong refuge, then we will be bold and courageous in mission. If God is our strong refuge, then we will be bold and courageous to make the good news of Jesus known in this world. That we will take risks. That we will step out. Trusting that God can use us to introduce God's story. To introduce the person of Jesus. The one that the world needs more desperately than anything. You see, it seems to me that the church, and I'll include our church in with that, that we have a problem with safety. We have a safety problem. It's not that the problem is that the roof is going to cave in and crush us. At least I hope it won't. And it's not that our problem is that we're in danger of some external force that's kind of attacking us. Rather, the danger is that we're in no danger at all. that we're safe, that we're comfortable. You see, safety and comfort and security have become benchmarks of church. Mark Buchanan, in his book, his recent book, he writes this. He says, "When did we start making it our priority to be safe instead of dangerous, nice instead of holy, cautious instead of bold, self-absorbed instead of counting everything loss in order to be found in Christ?" You see, the problem is, I'm too safe. You're too safe. We're too safe. That we're comfortable. We don't want to put ourselves out there. We don't want to take a risk. We don't want to be seen as a fool. We don't want to be labeled. But if God is our strong refuge, then we will be bold and courageous in the mission that God has given to us. And that's to make Him known. You see, God is not our strong refuge so that we can hide in the fortress. God is our strong refuge. He gives us strength so that we might go out and make Him known. Right? Verse 10. When God says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That's what we get to do. We get to be the ones who exalt God in the nations and among the earth. We get to speak His good news message. We get to live it out. So the question is, when was the last time you or I really gave something up for the cause of Jesus? When did pushing out in mission cost you something? When was the last time you took a risk in sharing the gospel with your words or with your actions? And it's been a while for me, I have to say. And if God is our strong refuge, then we will be bold and courageous in mission. And as I've been preparing for this last point, I've been praying, God, who among us will be the next Lynn and Travis? Who among us will be the next Andrew and Megan Smith? Jeff and Christine Harada? Who will be the next Gaylen Warden or Sharetskys or whoever have been the missionaries that we have sent from our midst? Who? And I've been praying, God, who among us will be bold and courageous in their workplace? Who will be bold and courageous with their high school friends or their university friends to put themselves out there and say, there is a God who loves you, and He took on human flesh, and He died so that we would not have to, and He's restoring the world to the way it should be? Who will be bold and courageous in living out and speaking out this message? Because God, if God is our strong refuge, we need not fear. And we can be bold and courageous in mission. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.